morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. This week I'm talking about what it means to trust the Bible. Why do I say trust the Bible rather than trust God? Well, as I've talked about this week, I'm not saying that we shouldn't trust God. Of course we should trust God. The Bible says to trust God, but the Bible itself is the Word of God. And so if I trust God, I'm going to trust the Bible. And so that's what I mean. And there are three different elements of this. I believe the Bible is true. I believe it is an authority. I believe it is sufficient. Sufficient meaning it tells me the purpose of life, what I'm supposed to be trying to accomplish here, where I'm ultimately headed, and how I can accomplish the goals that really matter in life so that I can be prosperous and successful. So that's what we've been looking at this week. We're going to look at a particular verse in Hebrews. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what Jesus taught about this subject, and then share one final thought about why I think this is so important. Let me first pause and encourage you to go to a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church this Sunday, because you need to have the Word of God read, explained, expounded on, because it is powerful. That's what I've been saying all week long. To trust the Bible means to trust that the words of Scripture are there to impact your life, to change your life, to help you in life. And so you need to be in a church. One of the things God has done to help us is to create the church, which is primarily a vehicle through which the Word of God can get to you in a powerful way. And so if you're not attending church, you're just missing out on so much. If you don't have a church and you're in our area, I'd love to have you visit sometime. I preach at the 9 o'clock service at Beach Branch Baptist Church in Luray and the 11 o'clock service at Fairfax First Baptist Church in Fairfax. If you have any questions about how to find those churches, anything that you want to know before you visit, feel free to call. The number is 803-943-8237. That's 803-943-8237. Be happy to help you with that. You can also leave questions, comments for this show on the Facebook group, Trust the Bible, the group page, and we'd love to have you on there to be involved in the conversation going on there. Well, Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Now, I think this is a special verse because, first of all, it talks about the Word of God. It says it's living and active. I'm not trying to limit God to a book. I think this book is not like a normal book. This is a supernatural book. This is a book in which God does his work through this book. And so I think it's very limiting to dismiss it, to say, oh, it's just a book. Oh, you're limiting God to a book. You don't know how powerful it is. Not because it's a book, but because this book is the very Word of God. So it is living and active. It is doing things. It is accomplishing things. God's Word does not return to him void, as we saw in Isaiah 55 yesterday. But it even gets to judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And this is this depiction of it as this sharp double-edged sword. It penetrates. It gets down to the heart. And this tells us something about the sufficiency. God knows us. He created us. He knows everything about us, even the number of hairs on our head. He knows how we think, how we function, and how we're designed to function. And so the Word of God is this tool he's given us, is this revelation not only of himself, but of our own inner heart, our struggles, our emotions, our sin nature, all these things about us. The Bible cuts right through it all and exposes us and says, here's who you really are. Here's why you need Jesus. And so the Bible is powerful in helping us establish a relationship with God, because on our own, we reject God. When left to our own, we break God's commands. When left to our own, we act against God. And this is something the Bible says again and again, and God has seen it happen again and again throughout history. There's never been a single person except one, Jesus Christ, who has ever lived and ever lived long enough and had adequate mental capacity that has not rejected him, broken his command, sinned against him, acted out against him. And God says, if I just left you on your own, you would never really know me because you would be against me. But God, in his word, tells us that he loves us, that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us, and that if we turn to him in faith, if we receive this forgiveness, we believe that he has loved us this way, that we have a whole new journey to begin. We're washed, we're cleansed. Now we can know Jesus Christ. Now we can pursue him. And the Bible continues to guide us in how to do this. Some people will say, I follow Jesus, not the Bible. But Jesus himself again and again calls the Bible the Word of God. Jesus affirms that the Bible is an authority. He says to Satan when he's tempted, it is written. And then he quotes the Bible, man shall not live on bread alone. That phrase, it is written, means Jesus says it's beyond dispute. If it is written in the Bible, then it is the authority. You can't argue with it. It is the truth. I think you hear that in that phrase too. Jesus affirms every story in the Bible. You know, he talks about Jonah. He talks about the flood. He affirms the history of the Bible. He talks about creation and the Sabbath day. He affirms the science in the Bible. He calls it the Word of God. In Mark 7:13, he says to the Pharisees, you nullify the Word of God, referring to the Bible, for the sake of your tradition. So Jesus views it as an authority. He views it as truth. He views it as the Word of God. He believes it is sufficient. He says in Matthew 7:24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus is talking about how to have a successful life. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, and his house falls. So the house metaphor is your life. And Jesus says, if you hear my words and put them into practice, and this is right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus has been teaching on the commands of Scripture. Jesus has been given this beautiful summary and explanation of what God's word teaches all throughout the Bible leading up to Matthew. And he affirms that whoever teaches and practices the least of these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's in Matthew 5:17-20. And at the end, he says, so if you hear what I'm saying about how important the Bible is and you follow it and put it into practice, you'll have a successful life. He's affirming the sufficiency of Scripture. So my response is, you can't say you follow Jesus if you don't follow the Bible, if you don't view it as the guide in your life, the authority in your life, the ultimate resource for life. And I stress this so much not to say I'm right and you're wrong if you have a different view of Scripture. I say it because the Word of God is such a blessing. The Word of God reveals the truths we need to know to have joy and peace and live life to the fullest and live life without regrets and know that we're on the right path. And when you take one of these other positions that, well, the Bible's not always right, well, you know, I think this and the Bible says that, so I don't really agree with the Bible there. Well, you know, I follow Jesus, not the Bible. You know, when you start making that kind of separation between how you live versus what the Bible says, I think that you're set up for failure because you're going to encounter issues where you say, well, I want to do this and the Bible says that, but the Bible might be wrong here. I'll go with what I think. And I think you're going to be wise. You're going to be that wise man who built the house on the rock every time when you say, no, the Bible is true. The Bible is the authority. The Bible is sufficient. God wants to guide me to be prosperous and successful through the Bible. I'm going to trust it. Well, until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.